Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. Welcome to part two of the three-part interview with Tommy Sonnen and Renee King Sonnen in Angleton, Texas. Renee and Tommy are co-founders of Rowdy Girl Sanctuary, a former cattle ranch turned vegan sanctuary. And also after the break, we'll be joined by Elfie Westgroves here in Worcester, Massachusetts, with Elfie's Vegan Parenting Tips, a feature offered on Vegan Nation the first Friday of every month, a two-minute segment of Elfie's Vegan Parenting Tips. And I'm greatly honored that once again, Tommy and Renee are joining us on Vegan Nation. Thank you, Renee and Tommy, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Tommy, will you describe more of that transition of your experience in being with the animals and then no longer selling them off to the sale barn, which is the first route to slaughter?
My transition into veganism was something that probably nobody else will ever go through. I had to make a choice. Do I want to stay married or not? And Renee was a vegan. In December of 2014, I was not, and I was trying to sell my calves, and she blocked that, so I had to make a choice. When it came up to the opportunity for me to sell my herd to her, I didn't think it would go anywhere. I wouldn't even accepted that opportunity, but I went ahead and said, yeah, okay, sure. Figured it'd go away. Well, it didn't go away. She started gaining the money, so I had to stick with my word. And then I started thinking, well, darn, you know, one thing about it, the vegan lifestyle is healthy. And since my health wasn't that good, my dad had died at 62 of a heart attack, I decided to start going vegetarian. And that lasted for about 3 months. And at first, it was really tough. You know, I feel a lot better. I'm a lot healthier. There's still a lot of stress in my life. Running a sanctuary is stressful, believe it or not. But I embraced veganism because it's the right thing to do for history. You cannot deny that we're destroying the world for a taste that is cruel to animals. And in my opinion, it can't go on. I think history is starting to turn right now. Do I think it'll happen, a utopian society in my lifetime? No, I don't. But I think there will be a lot more vegans when I'm very old, if I live to be that long, than there are now. And I mean, I believe there will be a lot more. It's just the right thing to do environmentally. It's the right thing to do health-wise. And anybody that looks into what happens in the leather trade, in the meat trade, the chicken farms of America today, supplying all that chicken that's killing everybody. We have a chicken out there named Daisy that was brought to us. She weighs about 20 pounds. We have to pick her up and carry her out of the chicken house and put her on the ground. Our other chickens probably weigh 3 or 4 pounds for average, maybe 5 or 6 on some big ones. Daisy is a broiler chicken. She's the kind of chickens that they raise in 36 days and cut them up when they're still babies. It's crazy. We have modified those chickens to where they're big old lumps of unhealthy tissue. But they're carrying a soul, a life in them. And if anybody doesn't believe that, all they have to do is come to this sanctuary and meet Daisy.
So beautiful and so important. Thank you. Thank you, Tommy. Thank you, Renee.
You're the first platform that's ever heard my husband come out like this. I'm just so grateful.
And again, life-changing for all. For all.
Yeah. I've never heard him say all this. And I know he feels it because I watch him. And so to hear it come out of his mouth the way it just came out, I mean, I'm just sitting here going, dang, you know, I need to write this stuff down. What did he just say? It's so compelling. That's why I think he needs to speak at Cowspiracy's CalCon. You know, it's coming up in April.
Tommy, I hope that you speak worldwide to everyone. Your voice and your message is so profound and very deep and very important. And truth.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
And at the same time, I'm thinking of all the challenges that both of you face every day on running a sanctuary that was a former cattle ranch, which is what it's all about. Everyone having their ability to live their life fully without being exploited or oppressed or any violence.
You know, what I wish, you know, is that we could have such a engine in our platform for Ready to a Sanctuary, an engine, a system, that other people could do the same thing, that they could just take our website, our methods. I mean, we journal every single day. We are keeping as impeccable files as possible. I just would love to see a way that other people that want to do a sanctuary could go, hey, how do you do this? And we could just say, you do it like this. You got to have the land, but here's the system. I'm 59 years old. I'll be 60 years old. I hope to have people come in here and take over what I'm doing so I can just be the founder and, you know, and just be the founder. To be the executive director of this is, woo, it is mind-blowing. Yes. It blows my mind most days, but, you know.
Yeah. Yes, and I hold that vision too. And I do believe it is possible because, again, I always think of the billions and trillions of dollars that are circulating towards vibrations that are not benevolent, that are destructive, and that money and those resources are there, and it's just a matter of transforming it, transitioning it into Rowdy Girl Sanctuary and other sanctuaries around the world, which is going to be a beautiful experience of vegan education and vegan living.
Yep, and, you know, we are taking the steps to, you know, with Global Federation of Animal Sanctuaries, too, we're real close to getting all of our paperwork submitted for the next step. So we are, we've registered for that. And, you know, that's a big, big process. But they're a huge platform for sanctuaries to really get certified by them.
We're listening to Renee King Sonnen of Rowdy Girl Sanctuary in Angleton, Texas. And we're also joined by Tommy Sonnen. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Arrow. And we'll continue our conversation with Renee and Tommy. Tommy, can you tell me more about that experience of your transition from cattle rancher to vegetarian to vegan?
I started looking into all the real statistics. You know, Kip and Cowspiracy really got me on the environmental side. Dr. Colin Campbell got me on the health side. I was born and raised to be a hunter, a fisherman, ate beef and raised cows, but I will tell you this, every time I ever took calves to the sale barn, I did not like it. And I kind of think that most ranchers have the same feeling I have about it, but they don't know how to change. And in the environment we're in here in Texas, you're kind of looked down upon even thinking about changing. I catch a lot of heat from the local ranchers if I see them. Typically, they'll probably turn around and walk off if they can. But anyway, I'm a sanctuary man now, not a rancher.
That's true.
Tommy, what was your experience of the transition from when you went vegetarian and then went to vegan?
Well, in early 2015, I quit eating meat. I think it was the middle of January, I believe. I've been vegan since about May 2nd, 2015. So I'm coming up on 2 years, and the weight just started dropping off without me even trying. And I was eating all I wanted. I dropped off close to 40 pounds, and now I've gained a little bit back. Probably I'm down about 30 from my high, I think. And a lot healthier, have a lot more breath. And that's my main advocacy as far as vegan lifestyle. I talk to my rancher friends, you know, about how they can become healthier. I don't try to tell them, quit selling your cows and get out of the business. I try to go a different route. And, you know, everything's changing around here. The stores are just in 2 years, the stores have added so many different vegan products. And this is in a little bitty towns down here, West Columbia and Angleton. I can really see a big change just in the 2 years that I've been in this genre.
You know what I think is because the, you know, the consciousness here is shifting because the sanctuary has kind of anchored a platform for vegans that are in the closet to come out. Because Tommy said, you know, earlier he didn't think there was too many vegans around here, but I think what's happened is there has been vegans, and there's been people waiting to go vegan. They just needed a, you know, an anchor, a cornerstone. And Radical Sanctuary has been that for people all over the city, the country, different states, different parts of the world. You know, we've had people from all over come here. And so, and plus, you know, Jane Velez Mitchell, which is, people know her in L.A. She used to be a CNN reporter, and she's written a lot of books. She's coming to Texas the end of March, first part of April. She's going to be here, and I'm going to host her on the first ever Texas Vegan Tour. And so we're going to explode veganism on the map when she gets here, because we're going to do live interviews every step of the way from Rowdy Girl Sanctuary to Lubbock, Texas, where I'll be speaking at the first ever Texas Tech Veg Fest. We're going to Marshall, Texas, where the mayor, Ed Smith, you know, had a real problem with his, I think it was prostate, and he went plant-based. The whole city has rallied around him and his wife, Amanda. All three Dr. McGregors are going to be there. We're going to be there on that day. We're going to go from there to Austin to their one-day veg fest. And then we're going to go to Dallas, and we're going to go to some folks that are putting together their first ever like animal pig save in Dallas. So Texas is getting a vegan vibe, and we are going to expand that vibe when Jane gets here.
Wonderful.
You know, we're contacted daily for stories. We're contacted daily for rescues. I mean, just yesterday, a woman crying on the phone, a FFA mother, just had an epiphany about her lamb named Rambo that her daughter was showing today in San Antonio. And she's fixing to have to send Rambo to the slaughterhouse, pleading with me, can you take Rambo? And, you know, I get these kind of calls every day. And so what we're doing is, you know, we can't take all these animals. I wish we could. That's why we need major gift donors. We got to have major donors that really commit to growing the mission and vision of our sanctuary in a very, very big way, because we get the calls. We get the calls. We have the publicity. We have the engine. And so what I do is I have a network of people that when I get these calls, I plug them in. There's a process. You have to fill out the form online. It's a rescue procedure. It's under our about page. And once that form is filled out and sent back to us, Tommy and I review it. We decide whether or not the animal can come here. We talk to the family, and we educate them on veganism and plant-based diets. And we then decide whether or not they're a candidate based on what we hear them say to us, because they're not willing to change, and they're going to buy another lamb and put it in the system next year. Well, then, you know, you're just perpetuating a problem. But this family, you know, it seemed like they didn't want to do that anymore, but I haven't gotten the paperwork. You know, I hope it's in my email box today. But then, you know, I put them on a wire. I just send it out everywhere. So if there's anybody out there that wants to be a part of our network that places animals, please email me at renee@radigirlsanctuary.org, because we get calls every day.
Again, thank you, Tommy and Renee, for your very important, noble work and for being leaders.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For seeing us that way. We appreciate it so much, because I told Tommy the other day that I don't know who's more long-suffering, him or I. This is not easy. This work is not easy. Every single day I wake up and I have to say a prayer to God of my understanding. Get me through this day and help me be the best, best founder of this sanctuary that I can be today.
We're listening to Renee King Saunen of Rowdy Girl Sanctuary in Angleton, Texas. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow. And after this short break, we'll continue our conversation with Tommy and Renee.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Warren, your host for the Wednesday Drive at 5. Let me be your driver as we cruise through all types of musical genres. right here on WCUW Worcester, 91.3 FM, streaming all over the globe on WCUW.org. Let me be your chauffeur. Is that it?
WCUW, Worcester 91.3 FM Community Radio. My name is John Levin. I was here when the station began in 1973. And the reason why it's here today is because of your support. Please call now with your pledge, 508-753-2284. It takes your support to keep a station strong.
Thank you.
Merci beaucoup.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome back from the break. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow. We are very, very fortunate to be joined by Tommy Sonnen and Renee King Sonnen. And thanks again, Renee and Tommy, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you.
Sure.
And then we also have Elfie's Vegan Parenting Tip. We're proud to feature Elfie's Vegan Parenting Tip the first Friday of every month on Vegan Nation, presented by Elfie Westgroves. Right here in Worcester, Massachusetts.
My name's Ha'el, and I'm vegan.
My name is Trayu. We're vegan.
Are you vegan?
Thank you again, Tommy and Renee, for Rowdy Girl Sanctuary and all your work that you do to create a world that is a sanctuary, beginning with Texas and then the United States and then all around.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much.
Yes, I can't imagine what you're doing. And like you said, you persevere every day, and it's for the good of each individual, which is for the greater good of all. It's win-win-win.
That's true. We get more non-vegans here than vegans. And our story is such that because we used to kill animals for how we subsidize our living, you know, we don't have any judgment. You know, there's no judgment. But I tell you what, I do tell the truth. I will tell the truth about, you know, the food on your plate. And in people's eyes just drop. They go wide and their mouth drops open, you know, when I tell them about, you know, the chicken eggs. You know, there was a girl here yesterday doubting us for a platform on, you know, major television. And she was here, and it was so funny because she's not vegan and she's not even vegetarian. She eats fish and I think she eats chicken and eggs and whatnot, yep. You know.
She's
a pescatarian, but she eats eggs. And so we were, you know, walking around. And she was going, "Oh my God, you know, everything you're telling me, I know I'm going to be going vegan now. It's just a matter of time." And then she says, "But what about the eggs?" And I said, "The eggs?" I said, "You mean the periods, the menstrual cycle of the chicken?" And she looked at me. She went, "What?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "What do you think the egg is?" And she says, "Well, I never really thought of it." And I said, "Well, what do you think your egg is when it doesn't get fertilized?" And she went, "Oh my God, you didn't have to tell me that." I said, "Well, you know, if I don't tell you that, you're going to keep eating scrambled periods." And she went, "That does it." You
know? Yeah, right.
It's, that's how it works around here. I just kind of get honest about stuff. Whether they change or not is their business. I'm just going to give it to them straight up. I'm like, "Gosh, you know, look at these turkeys. I mean, our turkeys are so adorable, Chi Chi and Alana. You know, we rescued them. They were pardoned by FFA Mom." And that story, you can see it on a video on our website, because some folks from Australia were here filming footage at the time, and we just happened to be a part of a live rescue scene of Chi Chi and Alana. And so these turkeys that normally would have been like turkeys on your Thanksgiving plate are here living, and they're so sweet. I mean, these turkeys will literally, now when you walk in, they just want to be hugged. They want to be loved. Folks come here, I mean, like Chi Chi and Alana, they are a magnet for people because they are so loving. And you know, when these animals are loved, you know, they stretch their neck and they open their wings to you, and they want to be loved. They want to be caressed. They want to be hugged. I just can't imagine the horror that they go through at the hands of humans that slit their throat. These animals are so amazing, and they are making a difference in the lives of non-vegans. Non-vegans come here, and I say to them when they're sitting with Chi Chi and Alana, and they're loving them, I said, "Do you eat turkey?" oh my God, yes, I do. I said, I hope that you realize that all the turkey sandwiches you eat are a chichi-in-law. That makes a difference.
As far as the sanctuary goes, a lot of our animals don't want contact with humans, and we respect that. But the ones like Chi-Chi and Alana that actually come looking for attention,
yeah.
I don't want anybody to think that we're anything like a petting zoo, because we're not. If the animal likes people and wants to associate with people, they can. We have a lot of cows that they stay in the background and they don't want anybody to mess with them, and that's perfectly okay.
Yeah, but that's true. But we have, you know, the ones that like Chi-Chi and Alana, Lulu, Houdini, Little Surprise, Fireball, all these animals.
And Cinnamon.
And Cinnamon, oh my gosh, floppy ears. You know, they all have personalities.
Absolutely.
Every one of our animals have a name. Before, it's like you couldn't even tell who was who because they all look alike in many ways. But once you start really relating with them as individuals, you see their differences, even if they look the same. The differences just come alive. Yeah.
We've got some cows that live here on the property that have lived here longer than I've been here. When I bought the place originally, the lady that was selling it, I asked her what she was going to do with the cows, and she said she was going to sell them. I said, well, let's work a deal. And I just never have been able to, I always sold the calves, but I was never able to, my rancher friends would tell me, you need to get rid of this old one and this one and this one, and I never could do it. It was bad enough to haul off the calves because you had to. You can only have so many of them. And so we've got a couple cows that are 20 or older.
There's Spot, and what's the other one? It's the old, what's another old one?
Well, Muley was here when I got here, but she was very young. I got here in 2002, so she's probably about 17.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. The cows that are still here that used to be enslaved where their babies were taken away, that now the babies that they've had, you know, they've actually relaxed. They're relaxed now. They're not scared. Even the ones that don't want interaction with people, you know, they'll interact with us pretty much, except for Agape. But even Agape has gotten a lot more relaxed and friendly. I mean, you know, they know, you know, every 6 months when that red trailer would come into the field to take the babies, you know, they knew it was doomsday. And now they don't feel that way. I mean, it's obvious they don't feel that way anymore. Their brows are relaxed. You know, the intensity in their eyes is gone. The stress in their bodies is gone. You can just feel it, you know, and see it.
And it really is respect and perpetuating beauty, joy, and love with a vegan lifestyle.
Yes, it really, really is. That's exactly what it is, perpetuating it, just continuing it every single day. What can I do today to make a difference, make another ripple?
And here's Alfie with Alfie's Vegan Parenting Tip of how we can make another ripple.
This is Alfie's Vegan Parenting Tip number 24. Let knowledge be your guide. I want to change that, actually.
The old lady.
This is Alfie's Vegan Parenting Tip number 24. Let knowledge be your champion. As vegans... Take three. This is Alfie's Vegan Parenting Tip number 24. Let knowledge be your champion. As vegans, vegan parents, or prospective vegan parents, you're likely to come across lots of people who seem to have strong opinions on your lifestyle. It's enough at times to send anyone into self-doubt, and imagine being a new mom or dad transitioning into that responsibility. I was so glad that I started doing my own research into vegan nutrition for pregnancy and childhood before I even became pregnant, so that when I had interactions with health professionals and others, I was able to self-advocate and educate them. I found myself stunned at the ignorance and prejudice of trusted professionals and found it so effective to have that knowledge that informed my questions and decisions. So, I say no to bullies and drop a little knowledge on them. Well, doctor, vegans don't actually eat fish or dairy, but I can give you a list of protein and calcium sources, nutrient bioavailability, and how this informs my extended breastfeeding. That was Alfie's vegan parenting tip, but remember, there's more beneath the surface.
That was Alfie Westgroves with Alfie's Vegan Parenting Tips, featured the first Friday of every month on Vegan Nation. And we're also joined by Renee King Sonnen and Tommy Sonnen, founders of Rowdy Girls Sanctuary in Angleton, Texas. Please join us again next week for part three of the interview with Tommy and Renee. Let's go out with Renee's song, The Red Trailer. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Join us next week at this time, where we'll bring you more news on living a vegan lifestyle. Hear this program again at wcuw.org/vegannation. Theme music provided by Will Tuttle. This is Marlene Narrow, wishing you a good day.